Acts chapter 10. Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he beheld the sky opened up and a certain object like a great sheet coming down lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And again a voice came to him a second time, What God has cleansed, no longer considered unholy. And this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate, and calling out as they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. But arise, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. And Peter went down to the men and said, Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason why you have come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. And so he invited them in and gave them lodging. And on the next day, he arose and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. And when it came about that Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, Stand up, I too am just a man. And as he talked with them, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. And so I asked, For what reason have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon, the tanner by the sea. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. And the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as the judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Amen. Now, this is still part of the section of the book of three witnesses. But now we have the inclusion of Peter, which started last chapter. It will go on for another half chapter. But this is a very, very important addition of Peter. Because Peter, unlike, you know, Stephen, you know, or Philip, or even Saul, Peter has legitimacy as a Jew. You know, not to say that Saul didn't, but, you know, he was not as respected by the Christian community as he later will be. You know, and so the inclusion of Peter is really important because Peter adds legitimacy to Gentile inclusion, right? All through, if you understand Jewish history, all from the beginning of history, all forth, right, the message is always be separate, right? Stay away from foreigners, right? Stay away from other nations. You know, I mean, that was ingrained into the Jews, you know, and the purpose of why God is asking to do that, you know, it's twofold. One is he understands how weak the Israelites are. And the other one is he wants to preserve a nation, right, for the coming of the Messiah. And so he knows that through the Jewish people, the Messiah is going to come. And so he wants them to separate. And this is the key. Separate from idols. Separate from, you know, their belief systems and those things. Because if you read the scriptures, Old Testament, you know that they're always with foreigners, right? I mean, you know, how many times were they captive? You know, I mean, all throughout Jewish history. And so they're always, you know, the message is always be separate. Set yourself apart. Don't worship any other idols. You know, don't go after, you know, their belief system. You know, and it was to preserve a people that the Messiah, Yeshua, would come on the scene. You know, and so now we have a major shift. If as a Jewish person, you would think, well, this is really odd. You know, why now, you know, after, you know, thousands of years of saying be separate, and now you're saying be open. It doesn't seem to make sense. And so Peter brings legitimacy, you know, to this, I don't want to say a new moon because it was always there from the beginning. Remember, Abrahamic covenant was, you know, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you, right? So from the beginning of covenant, we see that, you know, Israel was supposed to be the blessing to the world. Now, unfortunately, they didn't walk in that blessing, you know, and therefore the world was not blessed through them, you know. And so now we have a shift that's occurring here, you know, and Peter, you know, in essence, really is the perfect guy to really address this, you know, to the people living at that time, you know. And so he comes and the, you know, the vision, or I should say the manner by which he's being told is in the area of food, which was a very important Jewish rite, you know, the whole idea of kosher, right? It's not just something they put on a label. They're quite serious about this idea of kosher and eating certain foods and whatnot. You know, you guys know, I grew up in a huge Jewish community. You know, all my best friends were Jewish. It was in Chicago, you know, right outside of Skokie, you know, and just all my friends, you know, and I would go over to their house and they had such a specific diet. You know, so, I mean, somewhat bland in some ways, but it's still pretty delicious. And I always, you know, I always go back to my house and, you know, we're eating like kimchi and all these things. You know, I'm just everything, right? It's, you know, for Koreans, nothing is sacred, right? Everything is just, you know, consumable, right? I think the Chinese are even worse, right? You guys eat cats and stuff. Well, we eat dogs, so. Tit for tat. And so, you know, so there, you know, it seems to be, you know, and so I always kind of wonder about that. And then when I became a Christian and started reading, I realized, oh, that's why they eat this kind of stuff. You know, that's why their diet is so particular, right? And so, you know, God uses their diet, you know, to really express something else, you know, in mind for them. And before I get into it, you know, Cornelius is an interesting guy. Notice again, all right, God speaks to him in a vision while he's praying. Right, and it says right there, right? Well, you can't really tell by verse 3, it says in the ninth hour. But if you go to verse 30, he says in the ninth hour, I was praying in my house. You know, he gets a vision while he was praying. See, prayer, right? You know, when you get into the presence of God and you really begin to pray and seek his face and listen very carefully, guys, prayer is not just you speaking, right? Effective prayer is you listening. You know, that's prayer. Now, there's different types for intercession, right? And that's where, like, we're doing a lot of intercession. We're talking a lot, you know? But if you want to talk about true prayer is listening. It's not speaking, Right? It's just being in the presence of God and Him downloading to us. Right? And I would probably say most of what we're doing is actually intercession. You know, but I hope and pray that eventually you also shift. You know, and it's, you know, a good ratio. I mean, this is more of a personal thing. A good ratio is 50-50. All right, 50% you talk, 50% you let God talk. Right? That's true prayer. Right? True prayer is waiting on the Holy Spirit. Right? I did a series on prayer maybe about 5 years ago. And so I'm sure it's in the archives. And, you know, I encourage you to go up and download some of those messages. Right? Really pretty good, actually. You know, so he comes. And then, so in a vision, an angel comes to him, tells him what's going to go on, right? This is the word of knowledge. And then it continues on. Peter gets this vision. He's hungry. And so God, right, you know, he knows exactly how to speak to us, right? Peter's hungry, and so he gives a vision of food, right? I mean, it's just so interrelated. It's amazing, you know, how many times, you know, like I'm something, and God will just speak into my situation. You know, he doesn't just share something that's way out on left field. He comes and ministers in the midst of my context, you know, in the way I understand, right? That's because he's God. He's full of wisdom. You know, and Peter says, no, by no means, I'm not going to eat this stuff. Are you kidding me? This is, you know, I've been told from my youth that I'm supposed to stay away from these things. You know, and then the Lord says this, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Right? What God has cleansed. In other words, God says, I'm taking my initiative. This is no longer unholy. And this is really a continuation of the message of Jesus Christ. Right? Because when Jesus walked on the earth in the Gospels, the Jews would not associate with the people that Jesus associated with. Right? They would have nothing to do with the prostitutes, with the tax collectors. You know, even like a marquee passage is the woman with the hemorrhage of blood, right? And so in Jewish custom, if she's walking and, you know, let's say Solomon touched this woman accidentally, right, because she has an issue of blood, Solomon is now considered unclean. He would actually have to go away, you know, and burn all his clothes, go outside the gate, you know, I mean, go through a huge ritual. You know, because now he was considered unclean, and it took a ritual sacrifice to bring him into cleanliness again. You know, and so, you know, women, you know, you touch the woman, or a woman touches someone, they become unclean. But next thing you know, remember, she touches Jesus. Does Jesus become unclean? No. The woman becomes clean, right? And so, you know, it's a continuation. He says, what God considers, right, clean, no longer consider unholy. You know, in the world, right, under the law, right, you touch, you're unclean. You touch Jesus, you become clean, right? This is, you know, and this is, again, a continuation. And so he still doesn't quite get it, you know, Peter, because, I mean, you're talking about entrenched, you know, thinking, entrenched logic there. And so, you know, so he understands, okay, there's some men going to come. So they meet with him, and he's still in that place. He's saying, well, you know, well, what are we doing here? You know, what is this whole thing about? And these guys tell him, he says, well, you know, we're going to go meet some dude. His name's Cornelius. He's a really good guy. And you have a message for him. Right? Can you imagine if you're standing in Peter's shoes, right? What? I got a message for you? You know, I mean, pretty scary thought. You know, I've never, I would say this, probably honestly, except for when I first started preaching, I never really got nervous and I never really got scared to preach. Except remember one time, and I'm talking about a few years into ministry now, right? And I was actually in Africa, you know, and I was with you guys may have heard of this one. Her name's Heidi Baker, and Heidi came up to me and says, Sam, you got to speak to our kids. You know, it was running an orphanage. They had about 300 kids at the time, you know. But before she finished speaking, she said this. She said, well, I want to tell you something. Don't just share a message, share your impartation. So what's that? You know what I mean? And I was supposed to speak the next day, Sunday morning service. I was so scared, you know, because these kids wanted a word from the Lord. I mean, they didn't just want a message, right? They wanted impartation, right? You know, and so when I was just reading this, I was just reminded of that time. And I was just thinking, can you imagine, right? These guys come and says, you have a message for Cornelius. By the way, Cornelius is a commander of an army. Actually, the word is battalion, right? And so, I mean, he's got a couple thousand soldiers under his care. And so, you know, I mean, Homeboy was pretty scared. And so he comes, and he finally gets to the place, you know, and he, you know, he's still wondering, what am I doing here? You know, and then he finally starts understanding, you know, this thing. He says, now, in verse 34, he says, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. He goes, Peter's like, all right, I finally get it. You know, and he opens his mouth and he preaches this wonderful message, right? You know how wonderful this message was, right? The Bible says in verse 44, while he was still speaking, Holy Spirit fell on them. I mean, you're talking about anointing. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like, it's not like, okay, he finishes his whole, while he was speaking. Have you ever seen this happen before? Right? I've probably only seen this one time in my whole life. You know, while someone is speaking, the Holy Spirit, you know, he just has to stop. You know, I don't know if you guys remember my friend Tom Bonner. You know, Tom came to our youth group, you know, and we used to have this once a month meeting. And during worship, and you know, and then I think I came up and gave a little prophetic word or something. And then it was time for him to preach, you know, and he looked at me and says, I ain't preaching, man. You know, there's nothing to say. The presence of God was so strong, you know, and so he just came up and said, hey, I got nothing to say. You know, I think God's already here. You know, we just said, come Holy Spirit even more. And the place just lit up, and it was just amazing. You know, but it was, you know, just one of my best friends, right? I mean, just one of my most respected friends, man of God, right? I mean, you know, growing up, they used to call him Jesus, you know, when he was playing on the basketball team. I mean, that was his nickname. They called him Jesus, you know, and it's like, I couldn't believe this dude's like, I ain't speaking, man, right? The fear of God came over him so strongly, as I dare not open my mouth in this assembly. Powerful. And Peter's there, and he's while he's speaking, the presence of God comes. The Holy Spirit falls on people, you know, and in this particular setting, the manifestation of that was speaking in tongues, right? And they started speaking in tongues and exalting God, you know, and then finally, Peter really gets it, and he says, hey, how can we refuse them to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just like we did? You know, and then they order them to be baptized. Right? Can you imagine the anointing? Right? And the beautiful thing here, Cornelius had enough credibility with his whole household that the whole household was there. The whole household got saved. You know what I mean? You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Listen very carefully. I'm not saying if your people in your house are not saved, it's your fault because you're not credible. That's not what I'm saying, right? But listen to what I am saying. I'm saying, right, that, you know, Cornelius had such credibility in his household. You know what I mean? That he was able to gather these people together. They heard the message. The Holy Spirit came. They all got saved. They all got baptized. You know, I mean, that's, you know, later on, you know, we'll see another passage. It says, you and your household should be saved. You know, and so I'm not saying, right, again, I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not saying, oh, if you, you know, nothing like that. So don't read anything into this statement, you know. But on the flip side, you know, let us walk with credibility, especially in our families, right, that they could see your life and see the change in your life, you know, and be inspired by that change. Amen. Well, let's close our eyes. I just want to focus on just one thing. It says, for what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. The end of 28, he says, and God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. no man is unholy or unclean. They may do unholy, unclean things, but no man is unholy or unclean. And so I don't want to really focus on, I just want to focus on yourself today. See, a lot of times what we have problems, especially as Asians, you know, I mean, this goes outside of Asians, but seemingly, we are so critical of ourselves that we judge ourselves not by who we are, but by what we do. In other words, right, I give this illustration, it's like, you know, we say, oh, you know, like a Westerner will say, oh, I made a mistake, right? The Asian will say, I am a mistake. See, we're very careful at our house with Elise and Emma. Actually, my wife is very careful. I'm a little more loose, you know, but, you know, I always say, oh, you know, Elise, that's bad, you know, bad girl or whatever. And Lisa always corrects me and says, no. She's a good girl. She just did a bad thing. And I just wonder how many of us are really incredibly self-critical. And he says, God said, no man is unholy or unclean. You are not unholy. You are not unclean. You're righteous. You are in Christ. Yes, we are sinners. Right? Unworthy, but not worthless. And so when you make a mistake or do something, are you too condemning of yourself? Now let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him call you in your heart of hearts, my delight. I just felt like some of us here, even this morning, man, you're living with so much shame and so much guilt. Okay, you made a mistake. Go ask the Lord to forgive you and move on. Right? Your posture is not the posture of a prince or a princess. Quit being so self-critical and move forward. Let's just pray a little bit today.
And let's also pray for our households. Right? Let's pray for our families. Let's pray that we would walk in such credibility in our families that we can gather them, they could hear the message and be saved. Let's pray for health, right? For your parents and brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. Let's pray that the love of God, the love for God would really radiate within your family. Pray for real closeness and real intimacy. Huh? Let's just cover our families right now. Let's go to Church Focus. Let's pray for our youth group. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and all the teachers and the leaders, that they would just continue to operate in love. Pray for real spiritual growth in the youth group amongst all the kids, and unity, and just real effective ministry to happen during this time. So let's cover the youth group right now. Go to our House Church Focus. Let's pray for Causeway Bay House Church. Let's pray for Angela and Steve and Janine Basaraba. Let's pray for all the members that they would just continue to grow and grow in love for God and love for each other. Pray for real significant ministry to occur and a community to be built through the House Church. Let's pray for Causeway Bay. Let's pray for our sister Sujin. Let's pray for character building, to grow in patience and compassion and humility. I pray that in these times of uncertainty, that the focus on God's goodness and provision instead of circumstances, especially in finances, job security, and meeting her spouse, prepare her and her future spouse for marriage, give her wisdom to know what qualities to seek in a spouse and what to give up, for her parents' health and God's protection and guidance over her dad's business, and pray for her brother in California to find a church and get plugged in. So let's cover Sujin. Let's pray for our brother David. Let's pray that his family, parents, siblings, grandparents, everyone else gets saved, and for the breaking of generational curses in his family. Pray for a greater hunger and thirst for the Lord's righteousness in his life, and to be a joyful receiver. Ask to prepare his heart and his wife for marriage. Thanksgiving for the church, for his job, and opportunities to minister in the community, and for God to move in his heart so that he can become a more faithful and loyal servant in the revival of Hong Kong. And let's cover David. Let's pray for our brother Jonathan. Let's pray for salvation for his parents. Pray for protection in his house, vision and direction for the coming year, and an increase in faith and obedience to the Lord. Let's cover John. Father, we just thank you, God, that we walk in the righteousness of God, Lord, through the cross. And help us, Father, Lord, to not be so self-critical, self-condemning. Lord, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Lord, and I just really pray for my brothers and sisters, God, that are walking in shame and guilt. Lord, you nailed all that stuff to the cross, God, and you set us free from that bondage. And so, Lord, help us to walk in it now, Lord. We apprehend, God, that grace. We thank you, God. Watch over us this day, Lord. Let us be agents of mercy and grace, God, to everywhere we go, Lord. As we have received from you, let us freely give to others, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bind our will to your will this day. Use us, God, to bring glory to Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.